following message is a presentation of Valley Metro Church, a community of believers dedicated to knowing God and making Him known.
Good morning, family. We're so glad you guys could be here today. Again, this is, for the believers, this is like the celebration day of the year. You know, Jesus came, He taught us how to live, He loved, He healed, He raised the dead, He did all these radical things. He taught us the way to live. He offered Himself on a cross. But to be honest with you, if today did not happen 2,000 years ago, we wouldn't be here today. We are here today because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. We wouldn't have a faith if it weren't for the resurrection. And it was the day in history that changed planet Earth forever. In fact, your birthday is given a date because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? The entire calendar, the way we record history, is divided on what came before Christ or what was referred to as in the year of the Lord. How many of you guys are living in the year of the Lord? You're living in the AD times. We're living in AD. We're living in the year of the Lord because Jesus rose. It's radical. It's explosive. There is no other event that affected history as much as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Absolutely awesome. I want to cover some things in the Word that speak of the resurrection. We're going to look at the narrative of Scripture when Jesus rose again. But then I want to hopefully break this down. And my prayer today is that you take home the reality of the resurrection. You take home what it means, and it means more than a historical fact 2,000 years ago, although that's very true. The resurrection lives on today. And the resurrection power of the living God, I believe God wants to be in your life as well. And so I don't know how you've viewed the resurrection before, but let's unpack it a little bit in some different dimensions. If you have your Bible, Luke 24, I'm going to be reading from there, but I do want to set it up with a couple of radical things that Jesus said himself about what was going to happen to him. Because many people look at the crucifixion and then the resurrection. When you look at the crucifixion, it looks really sad. And we think, why did they do that? And how did that happen? And couldn't that have been avoided? And Jesus all along came telling everyone, saying, guys, I came with a mission. And the mission was the cross. And nobody was going to stop me from it. He said in Luke 18, Jesus took the 12 aside and said to them, we're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again. What a wild statement to say these things are going to happen to me. They're going to turn me over, but I'm going to rise 3 days later. He's been saying this all along. The Pharisees were looking for a sign. And he said, you know what sign you're going to get? The same as the one that Jonah had. 3 days, and back again. Keep watching. Keep watching. 3 days, that's going to be your sign. In John 10:17, he says this, and this is an incredibly powerful statement, but I want to remind you, no one in history dared to make a statement like this. Not Buddha, Gandhi, Krishna, Muhammad. Nobody. Confucius, nobody would dare make a statement like this because no one had the authority that Jesus had to make statements like this. I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down on my own accord. Listen to this. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. Hello. Who in the world in history has the authority to lay down a life and pick it back up again? And the answer is nobody but the Son of God. Nobody but the Son of God. But we're going to get into the secret of that. And quite simply, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's, I believe, what God wants us to know today. How in the world did Jesus rise again? How did this happen? It is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God wants to show us some things about our life and the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, this movie series coming out, AD, Many people have done movies about the life of Jesus, and we salute them. They are amazing how Jesus lived and what Jesus did, but not many have accurately tried to take on when Jesus ascended, then what about God's people? And Jesus said, I'm not leaving you as an orphan. I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Counselor. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. So guess what? So you can do what I did. Go. Tell others. Walk in my power. Walk in my love. And for 2,000 years, a lot of believers have been trying really hard in their own strength to be good people, to love others, to do things. But God wants to say, I've got a cure for that. I've got power for you. We're going to get into that part of the passage here. But first, let's look at the resurrection story, if we could. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. It starts out on the first day of the week, which is today, Easter Sunday, a couple of days after Passover. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered it, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you, living with you? The Son of Man must be delivered over and handed in the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered these words. Moves on in verse 9. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, mother of James, and others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Now, if you and I were in that scene, we would be baffled. And this is where faith comes in. I don't know, but if you're like me, a lot of times we want proof, don't we? We want a sign from God. How many of you guys pray for a sign from God? God, give me a sign. I need proof. There's nothing wrong with that. Gideon did the same thing on something really crazy. God's saying, I want you to go against these guys in battle, but I want you to get rid of all the troops and break it down to just 300 against these other thousands. He's like, what? I'm going to need a sign for that one, God, because that's crazy. Maybe you've got some encounters in your life that are a little crazy. You're asking God for a sign. It's okay to ask God for a sign. And he may answer your sign. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he doesn't. But if you get a sign, it's not necessarily faith. Faith, by definition, is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of the unseen. We are saved by grace through faith, not by proof, by faith. There is proof Jesus came. There is proof Jesus died. There is proof Jesus rose. But we are saved by grace through faith. And this is where belief comes in. You come to Jesus by faith, you live by faith, and the whole entire journey is by faith, and it never stops being by faith. They're at this point right now with an empty tomb, baffled. The women have an encounter with angels. They come back and tell the story. The guys don't get it. They're confused. They are shocked. They are mesmerized. Jesus said he would do that, but could this be? And so Peter runs to the tomb, looks in, he's got to see for himself. I want to pick this up if we can move forward into verse 36. And this is where Jesus rewards faith and makes things a reality. In verse 36 says, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds?" You might want to underline that in your Bible. Why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds? "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they did not believe it, because of the joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate it in their presence. And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets. And there was a lot of stuff written about Jesus, and he fulfilled all of it. Even the crucifixion was written back in Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53, talking about a method of capital punishment that was not even invented yet. Way back then it was written, the Messiah will come, but when he comes, this king, the Son of God Messiah, he's going to suffer to pay for sins. That's what it says in the Old Covenant. It also says in the Old Covenant, there's a time when a new covenant is coming, and I'm going to do a new thing. The Old Covenant's going to go away. Jesus fulfilled all of it. He paid the price. Here he is alive. And he says, guys, I'm alive. Touch me. Touch me. You know, later on in the passage, if you keep on reading the gospel accounts, Thomas wasn't in this scene. And Thomas is saying, I don't believe it unless I see and touch with my own hands. I got to see it with my own eyes. I got to touch with my own hands. Unless I actually put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe it. And maybe you guys have a limiting faith like that, where I want to believe, but no, I need the proof. I want to encourage you, that's not faith. I believe God wants to stir you today to leave here on a Resurrection Sunday with another level of faith in your life, because we're living in times where you need to start walking in bigger faith than what you had before. Your faith of yesterday is not going to get it done tomorrow, family. We're living in times where you got to start walking in faith, but God's going to reward your faith, and God's going to show up, because he's always rewarded faith. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Thomas in the story, he doubts it. Whatever, guys, I hear you, but I'm not believing it. Prove it. We say prove it, and then I'll believe. But Jesus says believe, and then I'll prove it. Hold on to that one, because you're going to find he rewards that. He did all through Scripture. That's why Abraham was the father of faith. He told me to go, I'm going to go. He didn't say prove it, prove it, prove it. He said speak, and I'll go. And the Bible is full of historical people who were champions of faith, champions of faith, not champions of worry, not champions of doubt, but champions of faith, who said, God, if you said it, I'm walking in it. It's radical. And the rest of their story, we read about them 2,000 years later. There's a whole lot of people who lived by worry or lived by fear and lived by doubt, and we're not reading about them. They didn't walk in the tremendous story that God had them. God wanted to write a different story for them. He wants to write a story for us as well. And faith is central to it. But with Thomas, he said, I'm not going to believe unless I touch him myself. And if you can picture the narrative, come here, Tommy, it's me. Wow, I think it is you, Jesus. Yeah, but you said you weren't going to believe unless you actually put your hands, fingers in here. Come on over here, Tom. No, it's good. No, really. I want you to feel this. I think I'm getting the point. No, come here, Tom. Taking his hand, putting it in his side. Tom, you feel that? I feel that. I want you to remember that, Thomas. And you know what he said? You believe because you've seen, but blessed are those who believe and have not seen. Faith is rewarded. You are blessed by God. God rewards faith. He always rewards faith. He never stops rewarding faith. I want to encourage you to encounter him after this resurrection in a new level of faith in your life. And I'm talking about engaging with him on a daily basis with a level of faith you never had, trusting him on a whole nother level. Some in the story believed, they saw, they believed, they remembered what they said. Others had doubts. Others had to actually touch. And people with all these different levels of faith, some lacking faith, some with radical faith, in this story of encountering Jesus. The Bible goes on. There's many appearances of Jesus. I can't cover them all. You should read them at this time of the year in the gospel accounts. Many appearances of Jesus. The Bible lists at least seven different appearances, seven different times in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15 says it this way. He appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, one big gathering. And then he goes on that he appeared to James and then to the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me, is what Paul is writing down here. I love how Jesus' resurrection was something that he talked about all along from the beginning, and then he actually did what he said he would do, fulfilling prophecy. And then in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, Jesus describes himself. He describes himself. And the way that he describes himself in Revelation, I love this. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. This is Jesus saying to John on the island of Patmos, writing down the book of Revelation. Jesus saying, I was dead, I'm alive forever. I'm the one who was and is to come. And that's why you can call on his name. And that's why there's power in his name. He is alive. He is more alive to some than he is to others. And that is entirely because of the level of faith and engagement and trust. He is alive to you. He is more alive to you than some others in your life who know about Jesus but don't know Jesus. But you know Jesus, I hope. I hope we're here today because we're celebrating the resurrection. You honor, you respect, you know Jesus. But I trust there's also some of you here today that on a day like this, you sense it's a good day to honor God. It is a good day to honor God, and it is a good day to celebrate. But if you would say or ask yourself the question, am I one of these people truly a follower of Jesus, walking in faith, aiming to walk in faith with Jesus daily? You might say, maybe not that. I want to encourage you today, God is calling you to change your story. God has a better story for you. He's got a much better story for you. And it begins with faith and the reality of his resurrection. Jesus literally conquered death. Conquered it. Conquered death. What a radical vision that is. What does that look like? The Bible says death couldn't hold him. Think about death holding people down. No one gets up from it. Bible says death couldn't hold him. That is radical to me. We also know that his resurrection is a historical fact. Even outside the Bible, it's recorded in ancient history. The historian Josephus, who wrote Antiquities, we still have it today. It's very ancient documentation of an old Jewish historian. He wrote in about the year 90 AD, he wrote that Jesus was condemned to death on a cross, but on the third day that he rose and he appeared to others, this is the way he put it, quote unquote, Jesus the Messiah was a wise teacher who was crucified by Pilate. And he also wrote, for he appeared to them alive again the third day, as the divine prophets had foretold, these and 10,000 other wonderful things concerning him, and the tribe of Christians, so named for him, are not extinct to this day. Tell somebody next to you, welcome to the tribe. Welcome to the tribe. 2,000 years ago, we were called the tribe of Christians. We're a tribe. Welcome to the tribe. Jesus is the lion of Judah. Maybe that's our tribe, the tribe of Judah. But because of Jesus, this tribe of Christians was documented even outside in historical writings back then. But the greatest proof of the resurrection, the greatest proof, is people like you and me. We are the greatest proof of the resurrection. How many of you can say unequivocally, Jesus changed me? That, would you agree that was not just a story, that was not just a principle, that was not just an experience, but that was a reality that Jesus somehow changed? The only way he can do that is if he's alive. And if you're like me, I've called on his name. I wasn't raised as a follower of Jesus, and I lived a lot of years the opposite way. But when I came to this reality that he offers this truth, I am the way, the truth, and the life, come to me, all of you who are weary and have a heavy load. I'm going to give you rest. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the Alpha, the Omega. I'm the first. I'm the last. I'm the door. I'm the true vine. I'm living water. I'm all these things. And I'm sitting there going, if it's true, here goes. And you take a step of faith, and immediately God rewards you. He rewards faith. Instead of sitting there saying, prove it. Prove it, and then I'll believe. You take him at his word. You take him at what he offers you and I, and you take the step, and he starts to prove it. And the rest of the journey is you taking steps of faith and God proving it. You take a step of faith and God rewards faith. That's the story. The greatest proof of the resurrection is you and I. In fact, the early church, they were telling these people, you better stop talking about this Jesus. You better be silent about him. We don't want to hear you talking about him anymore. And if you keep talking about him, we're going to throw you to the lions in front of everybody. How's that? And they're like, we can't help but what we've seen and what we've heard. If that's what you're going to do, go ahead and do it. But he's alive. I met him. He transformed me. I had an encounter with him in a legitimate way, and so does all these other people I know. So if you got to throw me to the lions, go ahead and do it, but I'm not going to reject them. These people that live that kind of life of a martyr weren't just changed by a story. They weren't changed by a principle. They were changed by a present reality that Jesus is alive. And that's the point, guys. God has called a living guy for God for a reason. And I believe we're living in times. We are living in times where it is imperative that you and I start to lock with him on a whole nother level. That we start to get in tighter relationship with the living God. That we communicate with him. We get in his word. We pray. We sit. We listen to him. We get into a different zone because God wants to start shuffling some stories in this room today. We all have a story. There's a narrative that God is writing along with us. If we partner with him, that narrative goes a whole different direction. If we do it our own way, it goes a different direction. I want to encourage you today, let God, just like when they're writing a script, they write a script, they submit it, and then when they submit it, it gets rewritten. Let's change these things. Are you guys willing to let God rewrite your script? Anybody? Are you willing to let him rewrite your script? I got parts I know I need rewritten, and I got to be open to that. I want to encourage you today. Jesus is alive, and he's so alive, he wants to do some explosive things. Let him rewrite your script. It's where it gets good. It's where it gets good. You know, the last couple things I want to share about the resurrection, and this is why the resurrection changes everything. The first one is this, and this one is profound. How many of you know that we're not just human beings having a temporary spiritual experience down here? We're really spiritual beings having a temporary human experience down here. You guys get that? That's a reality. We were made to live forever. This is a short life. Jesus tells us that if we die in Christ, we will be raised in Christ. It's a spiritual promise. It's a spiritual law. If you're in Christ, now you can answer the question, am I in Christ? I don't mean know about or heard about Jesus, or I respect the principle, the concept, or out of all the world religions, yeah, Christianity, the way of the cross is probably the, no, I don't mean that. I mean, are you in Christ, which means he's in you? If Jesus is in you, if you said, come in here into this heart of mine, this cortison, he stands at the door of the heart and he knocks, and if we open the door and let him in, he will come in. And I mean, let him in. He's the Lord of the universe. Be the Lord of my life. That kind of thing. If he's in you, then you're in Christ. And that's cool. Because those who are in Christ, here's the promise. If you die in Christ, you will rise in Christ. John 11:25, he said this to Mary. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. That's a radical statement. Even though we die in the natural, we rise in him in eternity. That's a promise. And he says, technically for you, it's not really like really dying because your spirit never even checks out. Your spirit continues on this journey. And in fact, in heaven, you get a new heavenly body is what the Bible talks about. The Bible has a couple of things to say about it. It says that our mortal body will put on immortality. In other words, this body that's fading is going to get a whole new one that lives forever. Radical stuff. That's great news if you ask me. And it also says in Revelation that we will not suffer the second death because Jesus rose, because he rose. If you and I die in Christ, we're not going to suffer the second death. See, we all have a first death, and that could be while we're asleep, having a heart attack, a stroke. It could be a lot of different ways that people die. But there's a second death. The Bible says we won't suffer the second death if you're in Christ. And the reason is because if you're in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you and you rise right back to new life. That's radical to me. And if you don't, then today's the day to change your future on that. We'll have an opportunity at the end here. But I just want to share a brief story. It's been told of a master artist. This master artist had all these amazing masterpieces, works of art. And they were so amazing that everyone around the world wanted to buy these, but they were not for sale. And so he had all these works of art and everyone wanted them. And at some point, the country got into a war situation. They had to send out their soldiers and the master's son went to war. And in the middle of the battle, in the middle of the exchange of fire, the son, he took a bullet and he started to bleed out there in the field. And he yelled over to one of his comrades, one of his fellow soldiers, and says, "Hey, can I have a pencil and a piece of paper?" The other soldier pulls a crumpled thing out, and the war is going on, and the other soldier who was shot, the son, he's drawn something, and he ends up finally bleeding out and dying. But before he did, he just said, "Can you give this to my father?" He says, "Sure." After the battle was over and the war was over, one day there was a knock on the door, and it was the soldier with the piece of paper. And he said to the master artist, "I was with your son when he died. When he bled out, he had one request, and it was to write down this here, kind of an artwork piece, if you will. It was scribbled, looked like some artwork. He wanted you to have this." The master artist said, "Thank you so much. I appreciate it." As years went on, the master artist, he passed away. And there ended up being a big estate sale to auction off all of this artwork. And when people heard that this artwork was available, they came from all over the world. This place was packed with wealthy people that all had their eye on stuff and they all knew what they wanted. And everyone comes in and they're ready to start bidding on this work of art. And the auctioneer gets up there as everyone's drooling, looking at all this stuff and coveting all this work. The first thing he takes out is this little framed piece of scratch paper scribbled by pencil. And he says, "Okay, up today is our first work of art. We're going to start this at $10,000. And the people are laughing. "That's not artwork." "Okay, $5,000. They're laughing. $1,000. $500. $100. "Will anybody give me $100 for this?" And the janitor in the back with a mop in his hand said, "I'll take that for $100. The auctioneer goes, "Auction closed." "Auction closed? No way. We came from all around the world. We want all of these. The auction can't be closed." The auctioneer said, "The master had one stipulation. And what he said is, he who chooses the sons gets everything. If you choose the sons, you get everything." And it's the same with our master creator in heaven who created the heavens and the skies and the universe and everything else. He sent his son and he tells us the same thing. If you choose my son, you get everything. You choose my son, you get my spirit too. You choose my son, my spirit lives in you. And this is where the story gets exciting, guys. I want to wrap up on this point, but this is really, really important. Jesus puts his spirit in people. If you are in Christ, and when we close today, we're going to have a chance. I don't know if you are, and I know we believe there's different levels of respecting God, honoring him. I don't know if you are in Christ. I don't know if he's in you, but I want to encourage you today, don't leave here if that's not a reality, because your story gets to change today, and you get to have the master start helping you write your narrative instead of writing it on your own. The story only gets better. But here's a scripture I want to read to you, because this one changes everything. This is why the resurrection changes everything. The story doesn't end with the resurrection. Actually, the story starts with the resurrection. Romans 8:11. "And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you," listen to this, guys, it's important. If the same spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. Picture this, guys. Picture this. On that third day, you got there before anybody. You happen to be inside the tomb. Jesus is cold. He's dead. He's pulseless. On the cross, he bled out. Remember, they put the spear, all the blood, water, nothing left to give. He gave it all. Remember that, right? On the cross. They wrapped him up. He's in a tomb. 3 days, cold, dead, flatlined, pulseless. Death's got a hold on him. And then all of a sudden, "Death, get off me!" Poof! And he throws death off. How in the world does somebody throw off death and conquer death after it's held you for 3 days? The answer, the power of the Holy Spirit is how. The Spirit is the wind, the pneuma, the breath of God, literally the holy breath of God. God Almighty himself, the Creator, going like mouth-to-mouth resuscitation from the living God into your soul, right back to life again. And he's like, death, get off me. And he stands up in the tomb. And that changed the world forever. Here's what the word says. The same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, living inside you. I don't know about you, family, but that's a game changer. That's a life changer right there. It changes everything. It changes everything. And that's why a movie series like AD matters. It's not just the history of what people try to do. I tried a little harder to follow rules. No. Live your life in the Word and the Spirit, but let the Spirit of God have his way in your life, because it's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, and some people are missing out on this major component of God's design. The Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead. If you're in Christ, the Spirit of God is in you, and the Spirit of God wants to do some radical things in your life. You know, some of the things that the Spirit does, when you look at what he did in the Bible. In fact, this would be good if the worship team could come up. I want to wrap up on this. He rose Jesus to life. The Spirit of God resurrected Jesus. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to resurrect some things in your life. I don't know what those are, but if you pray and ask him, he's going to show you what those are. Some things in your life that have been dead for a long time. A lot more than 3 days. And the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, living in you, I believe, wants to give a new life, a new lease, a new opportunity on what maybe you already wrote this stuff off. Maybe you're like, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know my child. You don't know. No. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that threw death off, is the same Spirit living in you if you're in Christ. And he wants to give life to your mortal bodies, not your eternal body, your mortal bodies right here and now. The Spirit of God wants to give life. Some of that life is resurrection life. Pray about what that is. God, what do you want to resurrect in my life? What was a dream back then, or what got started back then and it never got finished and maybe it died a long time ago? I don't know what that is, but pray about that, because I believe the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead wants to resurrect some things in your life. And the other thing that the Spirit does, the Bible tells us this when we come to Jesus, that we are birth, like having birth, into a new life. New life. God breathing. New life. Something that never even existed before. Out of nothing. God breathing. New life. The Spirit of God births things and resurrects things. Maybe there's something in your life that never existed, and God says, I want to birth a new thing. But here's the thing. He's like, you got to let me into your picture. You got to let me into your story. I'm not going to force my way in. If you let me into your narrative, if you let my Spirit have his way in your life, in your heart, that's where I can intersect your story and begin to birth things and begin to resurrect things. In closing, guys, we all have that birthday. We all have a birthday, and we didn't ask for it. It was given to us. We didn't pick our birthday. God did. We have a birthday. It's AD, by the way, because he's alive. And we're all going to have a termination date, an expiration date, if you will. We usually don't get to pick either one of these, but God already knows them. So we're not in control of those. But there's something really important that we are in control of, and it's the dash in between, the beginning date. You and I, we're living in the dash. And you and I, we're responsible for that dash. And the Holy Spirit is saying, would you let me into your dash, please? Would you let me into your into your life? This is the part you control. This and this you don't. Will you invite me into your dash? Will you let me help rewrite your story, the narrative of your life, the story, the way it can be, the way I see it? He says, I know the plans I have for you, and they're not to harm you. They are to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future. But it starts with being in Christ, not just knowing about being in Christ. I would encourage you. Jesus is knocking and saying, you know me, but I need to get in there. And some of us, we've been through some stuff, and we might go, no, this heart is pretty locked. Jesus is like, listen, check your intellect to the side. Listen to my spirit right now. I'm saying, let me in. The living God saying, let me in. And when you let him in, the dash changes forever. This is where God gets to start rewriting the story. This is where the resurrection power, the life of Jesus, when he conquered death, starts to be alive in you. And you will start conquering things too, because the spirit in him helped him conquer death to throw it off. The spirit in you will help you throw off things and conquer things. The spirit in you will give new life to areas where it's needed, resurrection life and new birth. And so on that note, if we could just, let's close in prayer. I just want to ask God to seal some of these things in our heart. Mighty God, we just come before you today. And we thank you for the resurrection. It is a reality. It is explosive. It is amazing. But it's not just something that happened back then. We appreciate it and we believe it. But the reality, God, is that you were raised, Jesus, by the Spirit of God, who you want to place in the life of every human being on planet Earth if they say yes to your Son, because he who chooses the Son gets everything.
This has been a presentation of Valley Metro Church. We pray that this message has blessed you. To hear more messages or to support future podcasts, please visit us at valleymetrochurch.com.